In the middle of a uniquely busy city, on a once quiet street, on the second floor of a mostly abandoned house, in a bedroom's small closet, Ian Ward is sitting alone. Even if anyone else in the city were still alive, there wouldn't be room for them in his tiny hiding place. There are any number of things Ian is hiding from. Keller Kenton, for one. The asshole that burned his real house down and sent Lena to ruin his life. And the zombies, of course. Those who valued their lives, and a small part of Ian still did, would make sure to hide from them. But mostly, he's hiding from something downstairs that he doesn't want to believe is there. It is there. And we'll get to that. His life, if it can be called living, has been reduced to scrounging for food from anywhere he can. Scraps from long-forgotten trash cans and crumbs from dirty kitchen floors have become his sustenance. This, too, is all dependent on if he has the guts and strength to leave the closet, which most of Ian no longer does. His life sucks. Outside of the house, in the streets, and filling the buildings, hundreds of thousands of undead have taken over. Because of this, Ian's thoughts often jump back and forth between finding his next meal and making sure he isn't someone else's. Like a caveman, he thinks. No time to relax, only survive. And what does survival mean, anyway? It really only means that your heart is still beating, Ian answers himself. He presses a pillow to his face and, for a second, considers leaving it there until his heart is no longer beating.
But then you'd be a zombie stuck in a closet. That's even worse.
It would be a fitting punishment, he says, because he believes he's a waste of air. He screams into the sweat-stained thing. It helps to muffle the sound. It helps to release some of the anger that keeps bottling up inside of him. At 17, he's nearly an adult, and after what he did a few days ago, any lingering spark of childish thought and deed has most definitely left him. No child, no kind-hearted innocent would do something like that. What is it that he did, you ask? He won't let me tell you yet. He isn't quite ready to talk about it. He has barely accepted it as true. He thinks that it will walk into the room any minute now, erasing what happened. From his solitary post in the closet, Ian is attempting to self-treat so as not to develop any form of psychosis. This is something his psychologist's father would strongly advise against. But his father is dead. Even when he was alive, he was useless at his job anyway, always pissing off clients with his haughty attitude and causing more harm than good. Ian doesn't know the symptoms to watch for, the tendencies. He only knows the word psychosis because his dad threw it around like a badge of authority or a weighted stopwatch to get someone to shut up. If any of his father's books had survived the fire, he could refer to those, but Keller was thorough in his destruction. It truly was the blind leading the blind. The house that holds his closet hadn't looked too bad from the outside when he and his best friend Grant came upon it a week ago. It was two stories, with a double garage and a well-kept lawn, and it had none of the warning signs that said bad things awaited them inside. That was what Ian's brain remembered, but he had beheld it with starvation in his belly and the dead at his back. Turned out to be a shithole. Mice or rats have eaten holes through the sheetrock at the base of the walls. Dust covers everything. The water probably didn't run before it stopped running in the rest of the city. If Ian ever goes back outside, he won't recognize the building from which he came out.